Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 19. Let's stand together, if you would, please. Luke 19, beginning at verse 28. Luke 19, beginning at verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, that being Jesus, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied. Thereon yet never man sat, loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto him, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for disciples that were willing to obey. We thank you for those who were willing to share. And Lord, we thank you that you will use us if we are willing. Thank you, Lord, for all you provide day by day, moment by moment. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We'll continue reading at verse 35 of Luke 19. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. When he was come nigh even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Our Lord made two triumphal entries. The first we call Christmas, or the time we celebrate the birth of Christ. When Christ was really born is not as important as that he was born. Jesus came, as it says in Luke 19:10, to seek and to save that which was lost. Bible scholars often debate between two different times for the birth of Christ. May I say that neither of them are in December. The first one, the spring, early spring, when the lambs were being born, since he was the Lamb of God, born to die for the sins of mankind, past, present, and future. Or late autumn, following the time of harvest. And most likely, Christ was either born sometime in late March or early April, or probably late October, and something to ponder. But Christ's second triumphal entry was shortly before his death. And may I say this, Christmas would mean nothing without the death of Christ. You cannot have the resurrection if Christ didn't come, and you cannot have the resurrection unless Christ died. And so Christ came to die for your sins, and your sins includes me. We find that it's very important to remember that as Christ came, he came to be our Savior. He came to be that unspeakable gift. In verses 28 and 29, we find that Jesus is moving again with his people, and he's about to ascend up to Jerusalem, and he sends two of his disciples to get an animal for him to ride upon. See, Jesus is sending two. Jesus has sent many through the years. And God has sent many through the years. but they have been rejected over and over and over again. This same Jerusalem where he is going, he would weep over shortly because of their rejection of the prophets and John the Baptist, and yes, he who had come as their Messiah. And may I say this, it grieves him even today that there are those that will reject his invitations to come. We note the phrase there in verse 29, he sent two of his disciples saying, there are those that he has sent. There are those who are willing to go. I got a phone call last night. We were ending our 12, 13, 14 party at our house, and we'd had a good time, and I had gone outside, and the phone rang, and there was a missionary to Cambodia, and he says, can I come and be with you? Now, he's one of our missionaries, and we try to work it out so that if he's going to be in Michigan, we'll have him here. And I said, you want to come to Michigan in December? And he goes, well, yes. Now, he's from Cambodia. Now, originally, he's from the Philippines. And I'm thinking, you're coming to Michigan in December. And so he's wanting to come and be with us on the 28th, which is in a couple of weeks. And he is one that the Lord has sent to be a missionary. May I say this, you're a missionary for Christ if you know him as your Lord and Savior. The Lord has sent many missionaries, many messengers through the centuries, through the millenniums, to give his message. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke chapter 1. We find in Luke chapter 1 that there was a certain priest by the name of Zacharias. He is the husband of one Elizabeth. That's Elizabeth with an S. And he was performing his priestly duties in the temple. And we find that as he's doing the duties, an angel of the Lord was standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zacharias saw him and was troubled. You'd be troubled if suddenly you thought you were all alone and suddenly there was someone there and they didn't look like any humans. Now, angels had the shape of a human, but they could tell they were different. According to Luke 1:19, he is the angel Gabriel. An angel is a messenger. He is one that brings a message. And the message of the angel from the Lord was that his wife Elizabeth, that's Elizabeth with an S, who was barren, would have a child. And not only would they have a child, it would be a son. And not only would he be a son, he was to be called John. And he would be no ordinary son. He would make many rejoice at his birth. He would be great in the sight of the Lord. He would not drink wine nor strong drink. He would be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. That's a verse that would tell you that abortion is wrong. From his mother's womb, he would be filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 16 says, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Which means that they weren't serving God, but because of his message, they would be turned towards him, towards the Lord. We note the precious thought there in verse 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias or Elijah. That he, John, would go before him, that meaning Jesus Christ, in the spirit and power of Elias. That Jesus is coming, that John, who was known as John the Baptist, would prepare people for the coming of the Lord. May I say this as a Baptist preacher, I'm preparing people for the coming of the Lord. Are you prepared to meet your Lord? Are you ready to meet him? So sure enough, Elizabeth, with a what? With an S, becomes pregnant and has a child And they call him John. And he was one that would be a forerunner of Jesus, the Messiah. He was a preacher of the Word of God. What happened to John the Baptist? How did he die? He was beheaded. And through the years, those who have proclaimed the gospel have been persecuted. But God has always had his messengers. May I say this, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a messenger of the Lord. At work, in your family, in your neighborhood, you are a messenger. But then we also see one that we think of quite often. There is a special woman who's going to have a child. Let's begin reading at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee called or named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Again, the angel Gabriel comes with a message from the Lord. Now, I want you to ponder this, folks. Gabriel was a resident of heaven. He was one that stood before the Lord. And he is being sent from the glory of heaven to come to planet Earth. Now, can you imagine? That's a letdown, isn't it? I mean, that's going from a 12-star motel to Motel 6. Yes. I remember a number of years ago, I was going to a pastor's meeting in Ohio, and I told Don, I said, get me a room. And so she did. She got me a room. I walked into the room, and I thought, oh, no. Half the electric, the plates over the electrical sockets were gone. The wallpaper was peeling. The door to the bathroom wouldn't close. And I thought, if Donna, you were here, I'd give you a piece of my mind. But that's what Gabriel did. He left the glories of heaven to come down to a small city and tell someone something very special. We know that there are three named angels in the Word of God. There's Gabriel and Michael. And then there's the fallen angel. Do you know who that is? Lucifer. Those three angels are named. Angels are always in male form, and they're always adult men. Now, I know that may break up your Christmas cards if you've got little female angels on your Christmas card, but if you go biblically, they're males, and they're adult men. But we find that Gabriel comes to a very special young, and I'm going to use the word lady. Lady. We don't have a lot of ladies in today's society anymore. We have a lot of women. We have a lot of vile, vulgar, lewd women. But a lady acts in a right and proper way. And she was a lady. We find that her age is unknown. We find that she is a virgin, having never been intimate with a man. Oh, that's strange in today's world, isn't it? Girls just want to have fun. What does the Bible tell us? That a man and a woman shall get married. One man, one woman. Do you ever find that mankind always wants to move away from common sense? Let me give you some illustrations. The state of Michigan, in its wisdom, is thinking of raising the driving speed limit on some of our freeways to 80 miles an hour. 80 miles an hour. There are people already doing 80 miles an hour. So if they're doing 80 now, what are they going to do? 90? Now, I want you to ponder this. Have you ever driven up behind one of our senior people on the freeway? And they've got it at 62, and they're quite comfortable. And if you're doing 90 and they're doing 62, that doesn't make a whole lot of common sense, does it? Wow. You say, Pastor Paul, I want to do 80. Do we really need to do 80? Maybe they'll do, the seniors will do 72? I don't think so. My opinion, we're moving away from common sense. How about this one? They want the bars now. The state of Michigan wants thinking of making the bars so they can stay open to 4 o'clock in the morning. Man, if you haven't consumed enough alcohol by 2 in the morning, do you really need more? Where is the common sense? Now, I'm not trying to be political here, but do you know that half of the money you pay at the pump for your state tax, road tax, half of it doesn't go to taxes for the roads? Do you know that? So they're trying to raise your taxes to fix your roads when you already give them enough. 50% of it goes to other things. Where's the common sense? See, the problem is man says, well, let's do it this way. And oftentimes it's wrong. What's God's way? A man shall leave his mother and his father and shall what? Cleave unto his wife. Man says, well, if it doesn't work out, find another one. Man says, try them out. Check up for a while. No, the fact of the matter is God wants us to live according to his word. And when we say otherwise, we are moving away from common sense. She was a what? She was a virgin. Being a virgin is not wrong, it's right. It's right. We find that she was a very special young lady. She is espoused to one Joseph, a carpenter. Espoused means to be promised to be betrothed. Betrothed is to be pledged to or bound to or intended for. She was intended for Joseph. Now, we don't know if this was an arranged marriage or if Mary and Joseph had simply met at the synagogue and through the years they grew an attachment, but they had decided that they were going to wed. And we find that they had not been intimate, for she is a virgin. And we find that she is highly favored. Highly favored. Kind of like chocolate chip cookies. Highly favored. Blessed art thou among women. Let me give you a couple of thoughts about this. Mary was not sinless. She was simply willing. Mary is not the queen of heaven. Mary does not make intercession for us. Mary was pure, godly, and chosen. She was someone that the Lord could use. And every Jewish maiden hoped to be the mother of the coming Messiah. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. What does the word Emmanuel mean? God with us. Let's begin reading again in Luke chapter 1, verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Do you want to find favor with God? Then do right. Do right. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over his house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Wow. Talk about being awakened. Mary, like Zacharias, was troubled at the sight and salutation of Gabriel. And the angel tells Mary to calm down and gives her some facts. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And you're going to name him Jesus, and he's going to be great, the Son of the Highest, and he's going to reign from the throne of his father David. Remember this, that Joseph came through David, the son Solomon, and that Mary came through David, the son Nathan. And so they both could take their line and lineage back to David. Verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now that's a very logical question, isn't it? How can I become pregnant? I've never been intimate with a man. Well, the angel's got the answer. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. It's going to happen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. They will not be intimate. He just will overshadow you. And at that time, you will become pregnant. This was the plan of God, that Jesus would come, and that he would be born of a virgin, that he would live and die and not sin, and that we find that he would die for you and for me, the Holy One, for those that are unholy, the one who would never sin for those who are sinners, the just for the unjust. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ knew that he would come, and that he would die. Verse 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And we're going to read verse 38 in a moment, but may I say this, this may be the greatest statement that a follower of Christ can say. This could be the greatest statement that you as a believer can say. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. In other words, whatever God wants, I'm willing to do. Wherever he sends me, I'm willing to go. I will be what he wants me to be. Luke 19:40 said, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. The stones would cry out. It's amazing how people today are offended if Christian athletes thank their God. It's amazing how many people are bothered today if someone pronounces that they are a born-again believer. But we're not to be ashamed of who we are. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We are not to be ashamed of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're not to be ashamed that we believe in purity. We're not to be ashamed that we believe that we should walk according to the principles of the Word of God. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Aren't you glad it adds there the Greek? We that are Gentiles, it's to all of us. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As is written, the just shall live by faith. From faith to faith. Are you sharing your faith with someone today? Are you sharing it with your family? Are you sharing it with those at work? The just shall live by faith. Verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They suppress the truth. Would you say that the media sometimes can suppress the truth? And they will give you one side of the truth? They will give you half a truth? And they'll suppress the truth of what is right. Do you know that evolutionists know that their theory is flawed? That evolution could never happen, that this world is not getting better, that it's getting worse, that it is dying. But they don't tell you that. They say we're getting better. They're liars. They suppress the truth. Verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. From the creation of the world, the stones would immediately cry out. Our universe declares a divine designer. Our universe. You know, it's interesting. The evolutionists don't know why certain galaxies spin backwards. Because according to them, they all should spin the same way. Do they all spin the same way? They don't. You think God did that on purpose? Absolutely. See, the evolutionists don't understand why things are what they are. Do you remember when the Americans landed on the moon? Do you remember the, as it went down, what was that? Whatever landed. There was a term for that. The lunar landing machine. Do you remember it had huge feet? Do you remember that it had huge feet? You know why it had huge feet? Because they believe in evolution. And they figured there would be feet of dust on the moon. And when they landed, how much dust was on there? A couple of inches maybe? The evolutionists didn't know what to do with that. I mean, it's been there for billions of years and it only had a couple of inches of dust. Boy, oh boy, they don't know how to handle the truth. The creation proclaims a divine designer. The stones cry out, our world is just far enough from the sun to be warm, but not too warm. We have water. Aren't you glad for water? We are so blessed. And the stones cry out. Verse 20, let's read it all. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? Without excuse. When they stand before the God of the universe, they are without excuse. If you're pulled over by a police officer and you begin to say something, he'll say, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Man is willingly ignorant because they would rather believe a lie than believe the truth. And the truth is that all men are sinners and they fall short of the glory of God. And the truth is the Lord knew this and God sent forth his Son that we might have life. But the choice is yours. I hope you've made the choice to accept him as Savior. And if you have, that you are a faithful messenger. Shall we stand together? If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, it's not too late as long as you're still alive. We're going to sing the song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. He'll hear your cry if you'll come to him today. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this invitation time. Lord, we pray that you would touch hearts. Convict souls, prick consciences, make us realize, Lord, what we need to do. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving, amen.